All right, take a deep breath. That's the spirit. All right. Okay, this is the last sermon in our Red Letter Discipleship series, and we've had a great time. We've been looking through the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9 and 10, those two chapters. Powerful words in there from Jesus, right? Just laying out what it means to be a missional church and what it means to be in mission as disciples. So remember our statement, missional church happens when disciples of Jesus Christ connect to engage their passions in the world. Who are we? We're disciples of Jesus Christ. What are we doing? We're engaging our passions in the world. We connect those, who we are and what we do. It's not just who we are, it's not just what we do, it's putting those together. And that word connect connects those. It's connecting with God, connecting with each other. Our red letter directions from Jesus through this series, and here they are, one at a time. First, the missional church one. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. He sent them out. There's the red letters. He sent them out to preach and to heal. Okay, don't just keep it here. You got to go out. And then our disciple phrase. Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me, disciple. For Jesus Christ, who do you say that I am? Now, what do they all say? Who do you say? All comes down to our own decision, our own following, right? Then you give them something to eat. That was back at the feeding of the 5,000. You know, before Jesus performed the miracle, he said, you guys got to do something here. You can feed them. I always think of this. Did he really think the disciples could feed 5,000? That's what he believed. Jesus believes in us to be able to do things that are miraculous, that are way beyond our abilities. We sometimes think we're nothing, Jesus is everything. No, we're partners in here with this. We need to engage. No one puts hand to the plow and looks back as fit for the kingdom of God. We need to be sold out for Jesus. That's passion. And then last week, who is my neighbor? Well, it turned out to be the Samaritan of all things. It can be us too. Go and do likewise. That's the world. So today's red letter passage is this one. Luke chapter 9, verses 46 to 48. An argument started among the disciples as to which one of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least among you who is the greatest. So today's focus statement, whoever receives this little child in my name welcomes me. To receive now is to connect. We receive, we allow in. And we allow them into our world, into our space, into our awareness, into our focus. We show hospitality, we include, knowing that every child is a member of Jesus' family, as if Delaney's last name was of Nazareth, right? Or Dion of Nazareth. All of us of Nazareth, we're all related. I used to tell this to confirmation classes. You know, I'd be there with our 7th or 8th graders, and I'd say, you know what? You all are related. You're brothers and sisters. Ooh! I don't want to be a sister with brother with him. So, we're all part of this family in Jesus' way of thinking. We're not as disconnected as we think we are. I love it when science says that our genetic makeup is very little difference between any of. We're all related. So we want to be receiving the least one. I can't imagine in the first century very many people talking about children the way Jesus did. Let the children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. I don't think it's just metaphorical children. I think he's really talking about children. You know, it's how you can tell something about a person by how they treat children. We want to be noticing God in each child. You know, paying attention to them, listening to them. You know, not just talking to them, allowing them to talk, share with us. You know, when we say somebody's name, when Jesus is saying that this child is, you need to see them in my name. The name, when we talk about name, we connect with somebody. They're not just a child; they're Jesus' child. You know, this is one of his family. I have a nephew. His name is Trevor, and Trevor's a senior now at University of North Carolina in somewhere down there. North Carolina. But anyway, he's studying Russian, and he had a Russian semester, of all things. This past semester, he was in Kazan at the university. He had a host family. Ola was the mother, and Ola was like his mom, you know, away from home, you know, and treated him really, you know, like a member of the family. So Trevor came back at the end of the semester, came back in June, and had a great time, and Ola packed something into his suitcase, you know, just to remember her, that he didn't see it till he got home, and so that kind of thing. Then it turns out Ola's daughter Olga is coming to study and work at Hopkins this fall, and where is she going to stay? And you know, who is it that lives closest to Hopkins? That's us. So we're going to get to host Olga this fall. And she's going to be part of our family, and we don't know her. You know, we know her through Trevor a little bit, and you know, Skype and phone. But Olga's going to be, you know, we're excited to welcome her, and she's going to be part of, you know, she's going to be with us. And she keeps saying how happy she's not in some nondescript, you know, dorm room or whatever at Hopkins. This world is bigger. Our family can be bigger than we see it. Continue to look for ways to connect with others beyond ourselves. So each time we receive someone into our lives, we draw closer to Jesus. We get in touch with him. We learn more about him. It's as if when we're connecting with somebody else, we're actually praying. And when we're connecting in this way, we're learning more, not just about them, but also about Christ in them, about who Jesus really is, about who he can be with us. Each person is a link to furthering our relationship with Jesus. So Jesus always calls us to people to be more. There's more for us. He sees more in us, more than our, you know, kind of tightly scripted world. You know, Jesus wants us to live more beyond our ourselves, beyond our plans, beyond our conditions. He takes our mistakes. He takes our choices. And he says, you're created for more than that. I see more in you. Yes, you're going to go off at times. But there's more for you. That more comes through the connecting, through connecting with others, through connecting with him. We're more when we connect, when we receive, when we listen deeply. So the listening is a really important part of this. And my little granddaughter turned 6 back on July 7th. It was a Saturday. We were up there for her birthday, and it just so happens there's a lot of stuff going on the morning of her birthday, and everybody was involved in other things except for me. So, you know, Pops, will you take Ren, first of all, swimming at about 7:30 in the morning? She was awake, and take her to the pool. We're the only ones at the pool. That was fine. That was fun. And then it was, and after that, why don't you just take her to breakfast? So I got to take her to breakfast on her birthday. That was cool. So we're actually at a motel, and we went over there, you know, went to the restaurant, and it was a very adultish place. And I said to her, you know, we need to be on good manners here and that kind of thing. We went over to order, and they had one of these omelet bar type of things with a woman there, and they had a menu on the board, and I was reading to her what you know, what they have. Do you want an omelet? No. Do you want eggs? No. Do you want all these different things? No. Well, what do you want? Well, I want chocolate chip pancakes. Well, I don't see them on the menu. We'll make her chocolate chip pancakes. So I said, okay, they're going to do that for you. And I said, I mentioned that it was her birthday. So, okay. So we go back to our seats, you know, and the woman's doing all of this, and they finally come over with these chocolate chip pancakes. And I want to say, I took a bite of those. There were more chocolate chips than pancake. It was like eating chocolate chips with just a little bit of pancake holding it together, like a good crab cake, you know. So on top of that was whipped cream that thick. You know, just piled it on there. And then these gigantic strawberries, you know, huge, stuck in there, and a candle. So they bring it over, the manager brings it over, and all the staff come over and they sing her happy birthday for her 6th birthday. Isn't that awesome? So that was really cool, and it was just an amazing thing. A woman sitting a couple tables over, after that, came over to our table and put down $6 bills on the table and said, "This is for your granddaughter on her sixth birthday." So it came, you know, it came from me listening and them listening to her, treating her, you know, as not just a child who happened to be in an adult place and she has to do whatever adults do, but they were able to, you know, to include her. We were able to see her, and in that way, things became real. She became, you know, she felt honored. She felt heard. She felt, you know, included. That's what listening does. When a person isn't heard, you know, they pull back. You know, we get quiet. We start to wonder about ourselves. When children are ignored. When the children are always being channeled into what we want them to be, instead of who God's created them to be. Maybe that's what Jesus is wanting to say when you see this child, he's a child, you know, this child, boy or girl, we don't know whether it was a boy or girl, is one of mine, is to say, they're going to be who they are, not necessarily who you're trying to make them be. You have a role, but I have a role in their lives, and allow me to move in their lives. Connecting in this way counters the many times that we as humans feel less than ourselves because people don't listen. Listening is one of the greatest things we can give somebody. Most of the time when we listen, we're not really listening. We're already processing, we're saying something, we've heard just enough to be able to comment, but we haven't really allowed the words to come in. We haven't given them that space. And so we go through life like that. Only halfway listening. Connecting is really listening. Taking the time to do that. There's a power in listening, in that connection. Listening is a connection. You know, sometimes we think that talking, we have to connect by talking all the time. And we can connect by listening. By receiving and giving. When we connect like this, we say things like, we say, everything matters, you matter. You are not alone. You are more than you know. You are enough. And we're also saying we need each other. We need each other. So I'd like to talk about Carol's grandmother. I didn't know her, but I feel like I did. She was 99 when she died and was kind of the center of her church, and also in the community, really well known and beloved, and people used to come and see her. And she cooked, she made cinnamon buns. We still have grandma's recipe; that those were the best. So when people would come to see, you know, grandma, they would, you know, she would welcome them all in and be very warm and friendly. But when this one family came from the community, she'd invite them over for the cinnamon buns, coffee, tea, that kind of thing. She would do that with china and silver. She would put out the best, she'd set the table in the best possible way to receive them in Jesus' name, to receive them as God's children. And this family had very little. They were really on welfare. They were just kind of making it. But in grandma's way of thinking, they were God's children. They were equal to everyone else. And what grandma was teaching was these verses, which is to receive them in my name. The least of these is to receive me. Grandma really did that. In Latin, the word for companion is to break bread together. When we break bread together, those sticky buns or let's say, you know, chocolate chip pancakes. Communion, when we have communion, it's this deeper way of connecting. You know, I love communion because we all come together and eat, you know, together. And we, you know, look at us. We're all from all walks of life, different backgrounds, different countries, different, you know, experiences, different educational backgrounds, different everything, different jobs. And yet, at the table, we're all one. Because just under the surface, we are all God's children. We are all God's people. So when we have communion, when we come forward and we take that bread and juice, you know, we settle into that deeper place. That deeper place. That deeper place I like to call the deep middle place. It's deep because it's not on we don't get it on the surface. We have to look a little bit past that. We have to be willing to settle down a little, settle in a little bit, and see that down here in the deep place, you know, it's deep because it's, you know, it connects with God. It's middle because it connects all of us. It connects all of us. You know, it's very generative. So in the deep middle place, we experience life fully alive. It's the place beyond words. It's hard to talk about this place. And yet it's very real. We experience it. We want it. When we're in there, we love it. Actually, when people are in love, they're in deep middle. You know, they're sort of, they're listening, they're aware, they're contributing, they're receiving. But you don't have to just be in love in that. We can create this space whenever we're with other people. We can't grasp it. It's a gift. But we can create the atmosphere for it. And we can set the table for it. We can prepare for it. We can prepare to receive others. It's a place I've experienced at Glenmar quite often, I'm glad to say. With staff, some of our staff times, with some of you all in different gatherings, even here on Sunday mornings, we feel it during worship at God's space. I even feel it in meetings. You know, people. I like meetings when they're deep space, deep middle places. I like them. I know. When we go into meetings with agendas that we have to do and we have to get and we have things to do and this is it and everything is all set out and we're just going through that, those aren't, you know, things that we remember. But when we have those same kind of meetings and we allow God into there, we allow that space and we kind of see each other as people and that there's something else that might be happening that is not on any of our agendas but is something that can come out because we're here together, yes, that's something that you enjoy. It's actually refreshing to be in that. And I'm in meetings where that happens sometimes and I've had those here and I'm so happy about that. Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Yes. Connection is speaking into each other's lives, allowing them to speak into our lives. It's seeing and being seen. It's hearing and being heard. It's leaning in and trusting and holding on when we don't know. In fact, it's good that we don't know all of it. It's one of the reasons meetings aren't so great. If we already know exactly what everything is going to be and it's all laid out, we've missed that there's something in there that may be of God. that God wants us to get that we don't already know. So I have a little diagram here for you that's sort of a summary. It's a little summary of what we've been talking about with this whole missional church series. It has three parts to it: discern, connect, and engage. We need all three of these for there to be transformation, something that God wants to bring about. You know, being disciples of Jesus is living into transformation, allowing Him to form and transform our lives. So discern is to pray, to listen, to pay attention, to wait on God, to be oriented to the Scriptures, to be oriented to our relationship with God. Connect. That's what we're talking about today. We don't have to be everybody's best friend to do that. We don't have to be, you know, really close to everyone. We can connect in a lot of different ways, but to be in touch with those around you, to picture Jesus in them. And then engage is to go out and do something, to trust that we can carry through whatever it is that we're being led into. When we discern, connect, and engage, what we are led into is often bigger than we thought it could be. Those are the God things that we didn't think were possible, but they happen because we're involved in this life transformation process. When we just do one of those, things don't happen. If we just discern, we're very prayerful, we're very kind of the introverted folks side of ourselves, and we just do that, we may get a sense of something, but if we never connect with others and we never engage, it doesn't happen. If we're just, you know, really relational and involved and very interpersonal, and that's the connecting piece, and we're really together, but we haven't discerned what might be behind what God's doing, and we haven't ever put it into practice, we get stuck. And if we're just the doers, let's get it. No, we got to get it done. I don't care about all this thing. Forget the thinking and the praying. We need to do it. Well, yeah, those are the doers. We need that. We need all three, you see, working in together. That's when we are being the missional church that Luke 9 and 10 are talking about. That's when we get, you know, where we move out in ways that make a difference. When we move out like that, there are transformational shifts that happen, and here are some of the shifts. We move from being apathetic to engaged, from a solitary faith to being part of a community. You know, solitary and private, that's where we start. We move over here to accepting and welcoming. Mission as projects to mission as lifestyle. A lot of you have lived into that. If mission is just a project, then I do project and I do it and I check it off, I've done my project. But what I hear you saying at Glenmar is, no, the project is just to get us into the relationships. It's to get us into the discern, connect, and engage piece. It's not, you know, it's not just the project itself. It's the lifestyle that we're moving towards. From roles and tasks to calling and purpose. From achieving self-esteem, you know, I've made it, I got it, I made it happen, to accepting our self-worth and as redeemed children of God, even when we don't have it. You know, when we're not at our best, we're still accepted as God's people. From church-centered to kingdom-centered, it's not all about us. As great as Glenmar is, it's not all about who we are, what we do. It's about what God is doing in the bigger picture. We're a part of it. Church focuses on comfort, to church stretches into mission. There's nothing wrong with comfort, but when we're held by it, we're afraid to risk, when we, you know, we hold back all the time, we're not stretching into the mission that God has for us. An agenda to stance. Agenda is, here's what I want to do, this is what it's going to be. Stance is, this is what we want to get accomplish, but we're flexible about it. You know, there might be something that we haven't seen that somebody's going to say that hasn't come into our view yet. That's the stance part. So Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Discipleship is a relational enterprise. John Wesley said, there are no solitary Christians. And we think about this. John Wesley was really, his brother Charles and he were really a team. They were partners. Charles wrote all the hymns, you know, 5,000 hymns. A lot of the theology of the Methodist movement came through Charles. John gets the big billing, and yet, what would John be without Charles? You know, what would Paul be without Barnabas? You know, Paul was off on his own. He might have been burned out, actually. He was kind of over here on the side. He was on fire and was doing things, but didn't work. Barnabas had to go and talk him into going to Antioch, which is where the church started. You know, that must have been quite a conversation. That was a deep middle place, you see. That conversation, whatever that was, they were able to allow, you know, Barnabas was able to create enough trust to hear Paul say, I'm not doing that. You know, I've been there and done that, Barnabas. Heard that, accepted that, and allowed God to move with Paul. I like to think of Mary and Mary, you know, mother, Jesus' mother, Mary. She gets this news. What would have happened if she hadn't talked to Elizabeth? Would she have been ready? Would she have known, would she have been able to handle this? She went to visit Elizabeth for a few months. That was a deep middle place. Something happened between those two women, young woman, older woman. They connected there. And look what happened. You know, and we can look through the whole, you know, look through the Bible. We see that we're to be together. Jesus sent them out two by two. We need to be connected like this, you know, as God sends us forward. So Glenmar, you're blessed to be served by a great pastoral team. We have Pastor Jen and Pastor Anna. They're working with me. You know, we're a team. It's the way it's supposed to be. No, I don't look at this as a ladder type of thing where there's this. This is, you know, we're a team. Same thing with a lot of you and with the groups that are here. We're working together. We work together. When that connection is there, we have the possibility for deep middle, you know, generativity to come into play. So may you know more and more what it is like to follow Jesus wherever he leads. For to be a missional church who follows Jesus Christ by connecting in order to engage your passions in the world, that's what we're being led into. Being a missional church, ready to move, ready to go. Not just because it's a good idea or because somebody said so or because it's the thing to do, but it's because we know in our hearts we're connected with each other and we're ready to go where God leads. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this series. We thank you for your words to us that come through in powerful ways. They continue to motivate us and kind of push us on, invite us, but also challenge us. We thank you for the courage to be the missional church. We know that you make it possible for us. But it takes courage, and we ask that you will continue to give us that courage to be the people that you call us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.